I was thinking at the end of the song, you know, where it says 10,000 years and then forevermore. You know, a lot of life's problems get a lot smaller when you live with the eternal mindset. Amen? It's true. You know, the thing is about, you try to help people in different ways with this, that this world, the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 15 through 17, is passing away. Amen? And the Bible says that this life is but a vapor. Now see, on this side, it doesn't seem like that. You know, you see your breath on a cold morning, and the other day I was taking Willow out, my dog, and I was talking to Caleb, who's out there with me, and I could see my breath, and I thought about that verse. I thought, there it is, up there, it's gone. Now on this side, it doesn't seem like our life is but a vapor, but see, on the side where we're going to spend eternity, we're going to look back and say, that was a vapor. Because when you're at 100 million years, 80 is a vapor. Amen? And a lot of the things that cause us such stress and such worry down here, it's just pointless and fruitless because this is not even home. This isn't home, amen? Aren't you glad this isn't home? How depressing would it be if this was it? Praise God, that's it up there. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you tonight. And we praise you. Lord, help us to have an eternal mindset. Father, help us to do Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which tells us to set our minds, our affection, on things above and not on things of the earth. Father, for it is there that is our home. It is there where our eternal dwelling will be. So, Father, help us to have our priorities in order. Help us, if we need correction, to correct us, Father, to get our priorities into order. Because, Father, having an eternal mindset is just a blessing. It's a great way to live life. So, Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Father, we thank you that your word's going to be spoken. Father, we thank you that what you want said will be said. What you want done will be done. Father, we are here because of you, and we trust and lean and look to you tonight, Father, to help us. Now, Lord, people work today. They have maybe work to go to when they leave here. Maybe they have to get up early. Whatever it is, Father, there were sacrifices that were made tonight. And so, Father, we're not here just to check off some religious consciousness box so our mind is at ease that we went to church. No, we're here to receive from heaven. So, Father, help us. Instruct us, guide us, correct us if need be. We worship you and give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the beginning of a new series we're going to do on Wednesday nights. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And I'm going to read down through verse 13, I believe, 12 or 13. It says, better go to 2 Peter here. That's what I told you, right? It says, and besides this, giving all diligence. Now this is what I want you to see, these next four words. Add to your faith. And that's what we're going to talk about, but I'm going to go through. It says, add to your faith virtue, into virtue knowledge, into knowledge temperance, into temperance patience, into patience godliness, into godliness brotherly kindness, into brotherly kindness charity or love. For if, now here it is, now think about this now, because remember, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, we're big on faith around here, aren't we? And we should be, because faith pleases God, faith overcomes, faith quenches the darts of the enemy. Faith is so important, it's how we receive the promise of God. But look what it says. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's heavy. That's the word of God, but that's heavy. That's true. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, verse 12. Wherefore, because of all this, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yes, verse 13, I think it meet or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, talking about this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So let's go back to verse 5. And look at what it says here. It says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Now, we saw that if we add what the ingredients are to our faith, that the Bible tells us in verse 10 that we'll never fall. Well, that word fall means to trip up or to stumble. I'll tell you, that's a great way to go through life. Never stumbling, never getting tripped up. You know, a lot of people are tripping up in life. They are. God doesn't want you to trip up. In fact, He gives you the directions on how not to. Amen. Isn't He good? Amen. He tells us how to go through without stumbling and tripping up. He says, if these things, if we'll add to our faith these things, we'll never stumble. And it was so important that Peter said in verse 12, verse 13, he says, as long as I'm here, it's so important, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things, even if you know them. You know, I always use the example of when the kids ride the bike at the house. They know the boundaries. They know where they can and can't go. But almost every single time that we go outside to ride bikes or they go outside to ride bikes, remember, don't ride your bike past here. Don't go near the road. Why am I reminding them? Because it's important. You remind and go over things that are important. Amen? And Peter says, as long as I'm here, and I guess if there are things that can cause you to never stumble, never to fall, that sounds pretty important. So we need to find out, what's he saying? Add to our faith. Well, around here, you know, we're big on faith. The Lord told me we would major in that subject, and we preach a lot about faith. Faith's changed my life. Faith changed my finances. Faith has changed my body. Faith has changed situations in my family with my kids. And you could all say the same thing. Faith took what wasn't and made it, praise God. Faith moved things that were in the way. Faith created things that weren't there that needed to be there in your lives. So we love faith. We're excited about faith, but the Word says we also need to add to our faith or we'll be unfruitful and we could be barren and we could trip up and fall. Now, go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And a lot of times people say, how are you saved? And that verse will say, I'm saved by my faith. No, you're not saved by your faith. You're saved by God's grace. But God's grace came through your faith. Amen? And we know that. And so, by grace are you saved through faith. Well, you could say it anyway. By grace are you healed by faith. Because it all works the same. By grace are you made prosperous through your faith. Amen? By grace are you whatever you need, whatever's in the Word, fill in the blank, are you whatever through faith. Now here's what we always say about faith. We don't brag on our faith. We brag on the grace that flows through our faith. Because our faith without the grace of God, if we just have faith but no grace, we don't get saved. If we have faith but no grace, we don't get healed. If we have faith but no grace, we don't get prosperous. And so what I've used the example in working in the oil and gas fields, you've heard me talk about it before, that when you're in the oil and gas fields, the drillers and the investors and the landowners and whatever, the gas companies, the oil companies, they're after the resource that's in the ground. It's that resource in the ground that causes the power. It causes the energy. It causes the money and the investments. That's what they're after. But you can't get it out of the ground unless the oil and gas can flow through something. And it's got to flow through a pipeline, right? Well, you don't brag on the pipeline. You brag on the oil and gas. But you need the pipeline to get the oil and gas out. It's the same way. You couldn't get saved and have your life changed without God's grace, and that's what we brag on. But God's grace had to get to you somehow, and it got to you through your faith. Sometime when you were a sinner and not a believer in Jesus, you heard about Jesus. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. When you heard, something happened on the inside of you. Romans 10:17 happened. Faith grew. Faith was born. Faith came on the scene. And you believed in Jesus and you released your faith. And you, when you released your faith, you laid a pipeline for God to flow His grace through and save you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says to add to your faith, and the Lord gave me this example. So the grace is what we're after, but it needs to have faith to flow through. We know that. And when He said add to your faith, the Lord gave me this example. You know, we take our kids to Waldemere and Erie, and man, they just love that place, you know. And And the big attraction in the summertime with Waldemere is the water park. And, you know, it just seems like little kids just love the water, right? That's what they're after. They're after the water. And so you can liken the water to the grace. But see, at a water park, it's called a water park because the water is the most important thing. They don't call it a tube park, right? They don't call it a dry slide park, do they? They call it a water park. But we also know this, for them to enjoy it there, they need a tube, right, with water going through it. Well, if they go to Waldemere and the water's the main attraction, and that's what they're after, but we know for a water park you need to have the tube for the water to flow through for them to have a full enjoyment experience. If they just go to Waldemere and go through the gates, get their swimsuits on, and there's just a bunch of tubes laying on the ground with puddles of water in it, well, that's better than sitting on the couch, but it's not better than a twisty, turny slide that goes up and down and around and through the whatever, right? And so, yes, you're after the water. Yes, you're after, you need the tube. But there needs to be something added to the tube in the water for it to be a full experience. You got to have beams. You got to have supports. You got to have nuts and bolts. You got to have stairs that go up. We know the grace is what we need, and we know we need our faith, but he's saying add to it or you're going to be missing out. If these things aren't also there, and Lord gave me that example of the water park. It's like, yeah, Lord, nobody wants to just play in a wet tube. They want that thing propped up and going straight down and around and bends and through the dark and through different colors and stuff. And so that's what the Lord is saying to us. Yes, we need our faith in God's grace, but things need to be added, supported, helped for us to be full. And in fact, he says if we're not, we're going to be unbarren and unfruitful, and we're not going to, we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. So we better add these things. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look over the next, I don't know how long it'll take, but until we get it done, I guess, we're going to take these things out of here that the Lord says to add to them, and we're going to look at what the Bible says about them. You know, we'll do one a night probably, if some are shorter and there's not as much to say about them, maybe we'll fit in two, but tonight we're going to do one. And I didn't, put them in any particular order, because the Bible says to add them all. And you know, I know this, that when you make chocolate chip cookies, sometimes I dump the egg in first, sometimes I dump the sugar in first, sometimes I dump the vanilla in, and sometimes I dump the flour, whatever it is. You just dump it, just get it in there, amen? And it didn't seem in my spirit that we had to go in any particular order, so I was just kind of following my heart on which ones to go with, which ones to do every night. And it seemed good in my spirit to start tonight. Let's see, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. I don't want to stumble. And I don't want to be unfruitful or barren. Besides this, 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue, add to your faith, what? Support it. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And that's where we're going to stop and camp out tonight, is on patience. Amen? Amen? Now, that word in the Greek, if you look it up, which you say, man, you must be smart. Well, you just keep thinking that. But all you need to do is get a concordance, and it'll tell you what these original words in the Greek were. But also, at this time, when you look those up, still keep thinking I'm smart. That would make me happy. And so, it says here, the word patience is hopeful endurance, steadfastness, or waiting. Now, that word patience, I don't know about you, but that is a dirty, dirty word in my life. Right? Enduring, waiting, being steadfast, or long-suffering are not things that we enjoy in the natural. They're things that our flesh struggle with. Now, we aren't helped in the culture, in the society that we live in, are we? Everything is now, 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 have it faster, faster, faster. But the problem with that is, as we get inundated with that, as we get flooded with that, it is the opposite of how God's kingdom works. Yeah. And so the problem is we're getting our faith built up in the now, 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 now. But God is saying you need patience, a waiting, a steadfastness, a long-suffering, a endurance to be able to walk into all that he has for you. Amen. And it's so against our flesh. The Bible says one of the fruit of the Spirit, over there in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it's in 21, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, or patience. Well, patience is not a bad thing in God's eyes. In God's kingdom, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, praise God. That's not a bad thing, but the Bible says this, that the flesh and the Spirit are at war. So our flesh does not enjoy patience. Our flesh does not enjoy waiting. Our flesh does not enjoy enduring. We want it, and we want it now. How do I know? What's your reaction when you didn't make that red light and you actually had to sit there for a whole 90 seconds? Oh, you get mad. You say things, right? Oh, you just, what about somebody that's, you're going somewhere 10 minutes away and they're driving 5 minutes slower than you want and you're just banging on the horn, banging on the steering wheel, saying things in your head about them when it all said and done and that whole drive, maybe you would have saved a minute or two by getting there. That's not very patient, is it? Have you ever been sitting? This is personal experience now I'm telling you about. At the drive-thru and the chicken nuggets are taking way longer than you think they should. I mean, it's called fast food for a reason. But really, if you think about it, the majority of the time, if you have to sit there in time for 5 minutes, that would seem like a long time. And we're talking about 5 minutes. But because we've been so inundated, 5 minutes in a drive-thru line or 10 minutes in a drive-thru line, I mean, you're honking on, you're pulling out of line and not even getting your stuff. Going to the next place, right? Am I the only carnal person in this church tonight? Did something happen to all of you while I was gone? Did you all become like Jesus, like just perfect like him or something? What happened when I was gone here? I mean, Pastor Michael was here. I know he's got some anointing on his life, but something must have happened because I must be the only one. What about our internet service? Come on. Remember days of dial-up with the weird noise that it would get? And it was like, that was the greatest thing ever, even if you had to wait for it. Now you get on your phone and you see the little scrolly bar going across on your iPhone, and if it stops in the middle, you're like, oh. And it might take just another 20 seconds, and it loads, and you get like 10 million responses to what you want in like 30 seconds, but because you didn't get it in 10, you're mad. What am I saying? It's funny, but it's a problem because God's ways are ways of patience. Let me real quick show you before we go forward in it. Psalms 37 and verse 34. I just want to read a couple verses, and then we'll really dive into this. Psalms 37 in verse 34. Wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. And keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. How's he going to exalt you? Not before waiting. What's Isaiah 40 in verse 31 tell us? I'm just going over a couple verses here. Isaiah 40 in verse 31. But they that wait, have patience upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. Now remember, if you're not waiting on God. See, a lot of times, people come out of the place of prayer, out of the place of seeking and waiting on him, because they don't get a McDonald's response from him. And our flesh can't stand the waiting. And our flesh can't stand, and our minds can't stand that whole process. You know, what we'll do, again, I'm speaking, not coming down condemning you, I'm speaking by experience. You'll set aside an hour to pray, and nothing will happen. No angel showed up, no chills, no goosebumps, no audible voices. It was as dry and as dead as can be. You think, my goodness, I spent an hour here. And we think, right? We do that one day, and we think, well, not doing that again. That was a waste of time. Wait, patience. Yes. Amen. Go to Habakkuk. I know that you're always in Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. I want to show you something here. Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, here's what I want you to see. So when the Lord speaks, And the Lord speaks how? Through His Word. Amen. Through the written Word, through the spoken Word in your heart, right? You can get a word from God here. You can get a word from God through the preaching. You can get a word from God while you're meditating. The Lord speaks something to you. Hallelujah. You know, for example, you know, He spoke to me. You'll be a pastor someday. It didn't come to pass for years. He told David, you'll be king. It didn't come to pass for, I don't know, 13, 14 more years. It took a while for it to come to pass. Told Joseph, your brothers are going to be bound down before you. It didn't come to pass for over a decade. Amen. Amen. Patience. These are people that stayed with it, praise God. Look what He says. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. Verse 3. For the vision, or for some things that the Lord speaks to you, is for an appointed time. Amen. Amen. For an appointed time. But at the end of it, it shall speak or come to pass. And not lie, though it tarry, wait for it. Be patient. And we're going to look at tonight about letting things go and not being in endurance, because if we don't have patience, we will not walk into what God has for us. We'll get ahead of God. We'll do things that totally derail the process. We'll lose heart and lose faith, and we'll look at some of those things. It says, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will come. Praise God. So those are just three verses that talk to you about God's ways are not a way of fast food. God's ways are not a way of drive-through mentality. To receive from Him, you got to have an endurance. You got to have a steadfastness. You got to have a long suffering about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Even though society does not like to wait, and even though a lot of things in the culture and in the daily lives, you know, a lot of these things are good that we don't have to wait, but the problem is it slips over into our spiritual life. And then when things don't happen like the quick internet or the fast food, it doesn't happen that way biblically, we lose heart and we get discouraged. Our mind needs to be renewed to God's way of doing things. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says that you be not slothful, but followers of them. Now here it is. Who through faith, we know it has to come through faith, and patience. What's patience? Awaiting, a long suffering, an endurance, a steadfastness. Who through faith in that patience receive the promises. What's the promises? What God has said you can have. They're not drive-through mentality things. He's telling us right here. What's He saying? You could be in a place of healing. Doesn't mean you're going to instantly get it. You can have it. If you'll enter into faith and patience, it will come to pass. He said, if you need prosperity, the Word says you can have it. But He didn't say you can have it yesterday or have it immediately. Hallelujah. Faith and patience. Now, a lot of times, the reason you need patience and enduring is because there's an enemy. There's opposition. There's a natural realm where pieces need to be put in place. Amen? Have you ever had something come to pass that you're believing for? It seemed to take a long time. And when you were going through it, you wish it would have happened yesterday. But when you got to the end, you look and say, oh, I see what had to happen now. That had to be put there. And that had to happen. For 26 months, we believed God for a home. Went looking at houses. And to no avail. The whole time thinking, oh, Lord, you said, you know, we're keeping heart. I'm going home. Father, I call my house. So, Lord, you said we'd have a house. 26 months of driving around, having appointments, seeing houses, making her ball her eyes out. Why? Because we found a house one time that she loved. In the first 5 minutes, the Spirit of God said, this ain't it. I didn't want to stay the rest of the time, but I just said, we're here now. We get in the car and she's all pumped and I took the pump out. I mean, I put the needle in the pump and it popped that thing. I said, that is not our home. And all the tears came. Now, I'm trying to make fun of it. I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying, you know, 26 months of that kind of up and down stuff. Well, when we got our home, which we love and we just absolutely are thrilled with and enjoying and are joyful in the house, when we got that place, we looked back over the 26 months and started to find out things that had to happen for that home to even become available to us. So many pieces had to be put in place, and for our home to be sold, and the people that bought our home at the perfect time, things in their life. So at times, there's things in the natural, there's opposition, pieces need to be put in place, the devil's opposing, and that's what God's saying. It's not God saying, oh, no, just we'll keep you waiting. That's not what he's doing. But he's saying the way we walk into this, because we live in a natural realm. In the spirit realm, things take no time at all. But in the natural realm, we live in the natural realm. And he said, the way you're going to inherit it is you got to be able to be steadfast. You got to be able to be patient. What's he saying? Through faith and patience. That means this, that in your patience time, you don't lose your faith. A lot of people wait, but they're not waiting in faith. Remember what that word was? That word patience there, where he said, add to your faith patience. That word in the Greek was cheerful or hopeful endurance. What's that called? Waiting in faith.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Go to Mark 11, 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. You know what patience comes down to? It comes down to trusting God. That's what it comes down to. Lord, you said it'd come to pass. You didn't tell me a time, but you said it'd come to pass. I trust you. I rejoice and thank you, Father. And I'm going to help you be able to do that tonight because it's so foreign to our flesh and our minds. Mark 11, 24. He said, therefore I say unto you. Now, I love that. You know, I was studying that and it jumped off the page. Therefore I say unto you. That tells us it's sure, man. This is Jesus telling us something. Well, tell me, Jesus, what is it? Tell me what you wouldn't lie to me. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. We've looked at this before, and I'm not here to break this down and go over each one, but our part in this verse is really quite simple. Have a desire. Well, when I'm broke, I have a desire for money. When I'm sick, I have a desire for healing. Amen? Amen. Whatever you're lacking, you have a desire for that need to be filled. That's a desire. He said, have a desire. And he says, when you pray, so he says, the second thing, talk to me about your desires. How awesome that he invites us. Did he say in Hebrews, come boldly when you need something? He says, come on, I want to meet your needs. I want to take care of you. I don't want my kids being lacking and they need something in school and they don't come to me about it. I want to be their provider. How much more? God wants to be your provider. If there's something they really want and they're excited about, I want them to be able to come to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I love my kids. How much more does God... If you'd get a revelation of how much God loves you, you'd talk to him about some of these things. Amen. So he says to have a desire, talk to him about it. But when you're talking to him about it, believe that you receive it.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I believe that that part can be a stumbling point for some people because they might not know who God is. But when you know who God is, it's easy to believe at the time you release your faith that he can do it. That he will do it. Amen? If you just hear a message on healing, faith has risen up in you. And then if you release your faith on healing, at that moment, it's easy to believe it's coming. Faith's big in you. If you've heard a message on prosperity and you need money and you go out of yourself, I have a desire to have more money. My needs aren't being met. I'm going to talk to you about it, Father. And I just heard a message. It's easy at that time to say, Father, I thank you for the money. I believe. I just heard all about it. I think that's easy. Amen? And people like y'all, you know, you've heard about God. You know who God is. I don't think believing that God can and that God will is that much of a struggle for us from what we've heard about him. And then the Bible says, if we'll do our part, desire, pray, and believe, we'll have them, praise God. And that's sure. That's a guarantee. That verse is a guarantee. But see, the issue that we run into, and this is where Hebrews 6:12 comes in, through faith, what's faith? Having a desire, talking to him about it, and believing it. That's faith. But faith and patience, what's the patience? The patience is from you'll receive them and the word and. There's a space in time there. When you release your faith and believe you receive it, from the time of that to the time of and you'll have them in the natural, there's a space in time. And folks, you've just entered into the glorious days of patience. Right? And he said, you can't receive. See, what we're trying to do is receive the manifestation of the promises. But we can't receive them till we first go through faith, which is steps 1 through 3, desire, pray, and believe. That's faith. But then now you got to enter into patience and be in faith during that time to get to the end of it. Hallelujah. Many faith battles are won and lost in this stage of the game. Amen. Many faith battles are won or lost in this stage of the game. Why? I believe it's simple to desire what you don't have. I don't struggle desiring money when I need it. Am I materialistic or is there anyone else with me out there? It's better to not be broke. Is that a revelation? When I'm not feeling good in my body, it's easy to desire health. When things are going off and with your family and your job, it's easy to desire those. I think that's easy. It's easy to me to talk to God about it. I have a revelation of how good He is. If He saved me, He'll save anybody. He must really love me to save me. There was a whole lot of blood used up for me, I'll tell you. But He loves me. So it's easy to talk to Him. I have a revelation. That's why I try and instill in my kids. Always come to me with what you need. Always come to me when we're struggling and you need something. And I believe, because what I know about Him, you know, and not bragging, just studied to learn about God, there's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing that He doesn't want for me. There's nothing that's too hard for God. I believe those things are simple. And so it's easy to get through 1 through 3, and then you release your faith, and you get excited, you go through the starting gate, and you're all pumped up, and you're all thrilled, you're all fired up. But then there's a patience part, and God says in this verse, you'll have it, but He offers no timeline. Does He? He gives you no timeline. If He did, it wouldn't be faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. If He said, okay, in 24 days, that'd be easy. That'd be easier then, wouldn't it? But He gives you no timeline. He says, I want you to trust me through the whole thing of the unknown, not knowing when this thing's going to come to pass, not knowing when this thing's going to manifest. That's where people struggle. Amen. Let me just give you some practical examples. You know, because what does it say in Hebrews 10 and verse 23? It says, we don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. Hebrews 10, 23 says, holding fast to the confession of our faith. We know that we confess our promises, right? The Bible says if you confess with your heart, mouth, and believe in your heart, you'll have it. The confession leads to possession. We know that. Jesus said in the verse before, He said, you'll have what you say. So we know our confession's important. Our words have power. It's releasing something into the atmosphere. And we're to hold on to that. He didn't say just say it once and then that's it. He said hold on to that confession. What's that mean? Keep it with you. That means keep saying it. Keep that confession going. And what happens? You know, we come up in a healing line. I truly believe this is why healing lines have become such a point of frustration for people. Because you come up for a desire to be healed. You come up, you pray and believe God, and you have hands laid on you, and you release your faith at that point. But then we walk back to our seats, and the symptoms are still there. We wake up the next day, and the symptoms are still there. We wake up a week later, and the symptoms are still there. And so we immediately think, that prayer line didn't work. But God didn't say it comes through immediate fast food drive-through. Now, sometimes we get instant manifestations of things, but that's not the norm. The norm is you receive through faith and patience. Someone comes up for healing, they get hands laid on them, and the problem gets worse 6 months later, and instead of holding fast to that confession, they've laid that confession down, and what they've done is they've taken themselves outside of faith. It's true. About people that need money, you know, finances, and you come up and believe God for money. You know, we've had times where the Lord said there's an anointing for people to get increase and things like that, and people have, you know, and people walk out and lose their job, or something will break down. Say, oh, it's going the wrong way, it's going bad. Instead of, you know, they when they received here and they walk back to their seat, they're fired up. Oh, I thank you, the money's coming. They go to bed that night. Father, I thank you, the healing's coming. I thank you. Have we been there before? I've been there. I'm telling you the truth. This is a tell-all on this. Is a Pastor Mike tell-all tonight. All my bumps in the road. And you go out of here excited. And you go out of here thrilled. And even you might wake up the next morning with some resolve. Yeah, the symptoms are there. Yeah, the bank account hasn't changed, but it's coming. Amen. What's your resolve like 10 days later? What's your resolve like 20 days later? What's your resolve like 20 months later? Either He's faithful and a truth teller or He isn't. And He is. Praise God. And people drop that. You know, I use this example of the Durant's comment. It's a good one to use. When they were here last time, I've told this story. Brother Kevin and Sister Annie, you know, they sit in a different office, office of the prophetic and the teacher and things like that. And I said, you know, I submit my ministry unto you. And they're like, no, we submit unto you. We're in your church. I said, no, in my church, you do submit to me in my church. I said, but we're here at lunch. I want to submit my ministry unto you as you've traveled, you've been there, you've had experience, you've been with Brother Hagin. I said, is there anything that you see in the church or in my life spiritually that you think could be a better blessing to the church, better blessing to the people? And he said, you know, he said, we worship God with your worship. We enjoy your worship. We do. He said, but if you had a full worship team, it would be better for the service. And it would be better for you. And I know it would be better for me. I mean, I have to drive far enough as it is, but then I have to leave even earlier. You know, I think about Pastor Tim and Pastor Michael. My goodness, they live 5 minutes from their church. They just sleep in, you know, and walk into church and just put the mic on and go to town. I mean, what's that like? So it would be better for me. It would help me with rest and things, especially with two churches. It just would. It would be. And plus, I know we worship and we sing. We do our best. I don't put myself down, but I'm not musically trained. There are people like Reverend Tony Jones at the Jamestown Church. That guy is musically trained. He's got a gift of music on his life. We worship God and we love Him here, and that's okay, but it would be better. And I said, I know, I sense that too. I said, I've been believing God for a worship team. And he put his fork down and looked at me and said, oh boy. Here's what you have to know about Brother Kevin. He's maybe one of my favorite ministers to hear live. He is, when you hear him preach, I mean, it is a scream, shout fest. Like, it will, you will want to run through 10 brick walls when he's done preaching. But he's very, very bold. I saw him one time in the Fredonia church. Preacher said, y'all with me? Y'all paying attention? Yeah, I'm talking about you over there in the whatever shirt looking out the window. Yeah. I saw him do that. Oh, yeah, he don't care. Yeah. He's the guy that at dinner, now I don't agree with this and I don't like this and it's an awkward, it makes me not want to go out to eat with him ever, but he'll walk around during dinner while people are eating with their family and go over and look down at their plate and look at him and say, is that good? Should I order that? I know you don't agree with it either. I can tell by your reaction, but I'm just telling you, that's how he is. Yeah. I saw him one time in the old Jamestown Church, which is now the Youth Center, start preaching. And he was preaching fire, and all of a sudden he stopped mid-sentence and stood up on the chair and he said, and if you ever have a Christmas program in this play, that man in the back corner is your Santa Claus. The guy had a big white beard. And then he just went right back to preaching. Now, thank God that guy did play Santa Claus, and so he wasn't offended. In fact, he used to come to my house at times and when we were younger, because he knew my dad and hand out presents and stuff. But right in the middle, he didn't know that guy from anybody. Jumps right up. If you ever have a Christmas play in this thing, that's your Santa Claus. And then just went back to preaching. Very, very bold. So I knew when he dropped his fork and looked up at me, I'm about to get it. He said, so you're believing God for a worship team, huh? He said, you're really believing for it, right, Pat? No, he was picking up something in the spirit. You're really believing for this, right? You're contending for this. I mean, every day, you're bringing it before God. You see, I know when my kids want something because they talk to me about it a lot. Yeah. I know when they want something really bad, and I know when something's not that important. When something's not that important, I hear about it maybe once, maybe twice, and that's it. When they want something that's important to them, it's you hear about it all the time. Because they want it. They're talking about it. So you, every day you're confessing for worship. Every day when the thought comes, every time you see an instrument and the thought comes in your head, you're saying, Father, I thank you for worship team. I said, nope. And remember what message came out of that? Are you a contender or are you a pretender? Remember? A lot of us are pretenders in faith. And I've been in the pretender category. And I've also been in the contender category. When I needed that money, $2,000 short every month, I'll tell you what, every day, every time I thought about anything, any time I saw a bill, any time I saw anything to do with money, Father, I thank you, the money comes. All my bills are paid on time, all the time. What was I doing? Contending. Yes. But with the worship team, I was pretending. Started out like a ball of fire, you know, when I got that revelation that, hey, we need to believe God for a worship team around here. Started out, Father, I thank you for a worship team. I'm on my walk. Thank you for a worship team. 10 days go by. Oh, yeah, that worship team thing, that'd be cool. No. Not contending for it. Amen. And what happens to us a lot of times, it's easy to start something. It's easy to walk out of here fired up about your healing, about your prosperity, about your situation changing. But when things don't change in the natural is when we drop the ball on them. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't afford to drop the ball. Amen. What does Galatians 6 and verse 9 say? Let's look. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Remember what he said over there as we're turning to Galatians 6 and verse 9? Remember what he said over there in James chapter 1? He said, let them that are asking, let them ask in faith. Now we know faith and patience go together. That means during the time from the time you release to the time it shows up, you can't drop your faith. You got to stay in faith. He said, let that man that's not in faith think they'll receive anything from God. What's he saying? If you're not in faith, and during the time from when you release it to the time it shows up, if you're not cheerful and you're not hopeful and you're not holding fast to your confession, he says, don't expect to get it. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, what's that, an appointed time? Say, where's my money? It might not be the season yet. Do you trust God enough that he knows when to get it to you? Do you trust God enough to believe him? In due season, we'll reap, we'll get the promises of God. But there's that next word, that word if. If we faint not. You know what fainting looks like? Oh, thank you, Lord, for the worship team. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. 6 months, not talking about 7 months go by. Haven't talked about it in 2 months. 3 months go by. Oh, thank you, Lord, for worship team. That's not contending. He said to hold fast to the confession of faith. Didn't he say that in Hebrews 10:23? Hold fast to the confession of faith without wavering. For he's faithful that promised, it says. And so it says, we'll reap if we faint not. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't reap because you need it. You won't reap because you desire it. And you won't reap because you really want it bad. A lot of people really are in a situation, Lord, I really, really need this. So what? That's not how it comes. It comes by faith and not fainting. Well, the Lord's going to look at this and see that I've waited a long time and that he can see I really need this. That's not how it comes. It comes by not fainting in faith. Now, if you're here tonight and you can say, this is me, I've been waiting, but I've not been waiting in faith. There's a difference between waiting and waiting in faith. Waiting is just passing the time away. Waiting in faith is looking every day that it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And if you can say to yourself and be honest enough with yourself, say, I've been there, I'm there right now. And I remember getting prayed for and I remember releasing my faith. I remember writing it down in a journal, but man, I haven't talked about that in 5 days, 6 days. I get discouraged. It's been 6 weeks since I've mentioned. Just pick it back up tonight. Hallelujah. So I want to help you in the little bit of time we have left here with patience. Go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Lord loves us. Amen. We got to add this to our faith. Why? Without patience, we don't have faith. Because they go together. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. See, we have to understand that God has a different sense or different idea of time than we do, right? You know, you think in the Bible about faithfulness, and people, you see it in church all the time, but people be faithful to come to church for 2-3 weeks in a row. You know, they'll be there and they'll come up to me and say, Pastor, I want to be on the worship team. I want to be on worship. Okay, come to church and sit there for 6 months. Well, I've been faithful for 2-3 weeks. That's not faithfulness.
That's right.
It's just not faithfulness. Amen. God's idea of faithfulness, I always hear my pastor say it, and it lines up with the Bible, is not measured in days. It's not measured in weeks. It's not measured in months. Now, I'm not saying it's measured in years. That doesn't mean your promise will be held off for years, but I'm just saying God's idea of time in faithfulness, in our idea of faithfulness, we think, yeah, I went to church the whole month of September. I'm faithful. No, you're not. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing the right thing over a long period. David was faithful for years and years. Joseph was faithful for years and years and years.
Amen.
But I tithed for 2 weeks and nothing happened.
Come on.
You fainted. Hebrews 6 and verse 12, that you not be slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promise. Look at this example of patience. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, everyone say the next word, after.
After.
After. Say it again.
After.
After he had patiently endured, then he obtained the promise. Why? Because we receive the promises through two things, not just faith, patience as well. We got to have faith and patience. Hallelujah. And so Abraham is a good example, right? So what did Abraham do? Well, I'm here to tell you, do what Abraham did, and you'll get Abrahamic results.
Right.
Amen? Hallelujah. So go with me to real quick Romans 4 and verse 20 and 21. We're going to find out what Abraham... So what do you do in the time of patience? When you enter into that time, because evidently Abraham did something right. He patiently endured. Well, how did he do it? Well, thank God the Bible tells us. Romans 4 and verse 20. Romans 4 and verse 20. Excuse me. It says, Abraham, remember now, he's the guy that patiently endured and received the promise. Actually, it took him about 25 years. Again, don't think, oh gosh, there, my husband, 25 years, I'm going to have to wait for to be married. Oh my gosh. No. Plus, we look at Abraham's life, we know he didn't always patiently endure. Did he? He laughed at God. They went out and did it their own way. Oh, that's, I could camp out there. I won't for a long time, but I will say this. A lot of people forfeit. I'll just use the house for example. There were plenty of houses in that we naturally liked. But there was one house that had everything that we wanted. It was in a great place. It would have saved us a lot of money every month. And the Lord said this to me. And we had been waiting 26 months, so we're ready to go because we got Abby on the way. And the house we had before, man, it was a tiny little house, you know, thankful for it. But it was tiny. We needed something bigger. And the Lord said this to me. He said, that's your Ishmael house. I wanted it because it was easy on the money. It was easy on the mind. And it would get us into a way better house than we were, the size and big. He said, that's your Ishmael house. Well, I knew what he meant. See, Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael was doing their own thing because they got impatient. And they didn't trust God. Amen. Patience comes down to trust. Nope, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to wait, God. Hallelujah. For the blessings that you have for me. Praise God. Romans 4. So what did Abraham do? We know eventually got into faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But look at this. But was strong in his faith. Or one translation says, strengthened in his faith. How? Giving glory to God. What did Brother Hagin always say? You pray, you believe you receive it, and then from that point, and Pastor Nancy preaches all the time, you enter into praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Why? That's called worship. What do we always say happens when you worship? You're keeping your gaze, your attention, fixed on the right place.
That's right.
Amen? The one that can make it come to pass in an instant. The one that is on your side. The one that's flowing the grace to whatever you need. That's what Abraham did. Remember it said that he, up here it says, he did not consider his own body. He stopped considering his own body as being the source of it happening and just considering the one who could make it happen. He worshipped. He went around saying, Father, I thank you for my son. It kept his faith up. Remember what Brother Hagin told that woman that had the growth on the side of her face? She came up to have hands laid on her. She had a huge growth on the side of her face. Can you imagine the shame and the hurt and just the things that she would go through, self-consciousness. And he laid hands on her in the name of Jesus and cursed that thing. Nothing changed. But don't be surprised if nothing changes. It didn't change when Jesus spoke to the fig tree either. Right. Nothing changed for Jesus when he spoke immediately. And he told her, he said, now we prayed and released our faith and you believed. When you go out of here, anytime you think about it, you see in the mirror, you feel it, you see it on the side of your face. Every single time you say, on such and such a day, I was prayed for and I received my healing for that growth. I mean, that's Brother Hagin praying for you. I mean, just me, if Brother Hagin, you know anything he prays for me, I'm expecting that thing to plop on the floor. Yet alone the next day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Can you imagine the thoughts? He said, every time you think of it, you just worship God. Keep your attention on him. Say, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. What was that doing? Strengthening your faith. What did that do for Abraham? Strengthened his faith. Because you can't faint. If you faint, you won't receive. Day 9 goes by and nothing happens. Can you imagine getting prayed for by Brother Hagin in a conference or you know camp meeting or whatever? Thousands of people. You're bold enough to go forward. And he prays for you and curses that thing. And 9 days go by and not a change on something like that. Oh, the temptation thing. Oh, it didn't work for me. I'm going to have this thing for me. You know those thoughts were there.
Sure.
She did it again. She woke up on the 10th day or went to bed on the 9th night. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. This thing is gone in my life. I praise you. What was she doing? Keeping her gaze in the right place. On the 10th morning, she woke up and felt different and felt, and it was gone. What if the first day she'd have stumbled? What if the second day she'd have stumbled? She'd have fumbled, praise God. Need to have patience. Hallelujah. So what did Abraham do? He worshiped. So I encourage you. You release your faith. Get back into worship every day. How long got to do that for until that sucker shows up in the natural? Amen. Just stay with it. My God, stay with it. Praise the Lord. So many, I've seen people absolutely lied to in their minds and removed. The devil lied to them so much that they were believing God for something. It didn't come to pass in a certain amount of time. And so then the word of faith is wrong. Faith, this whole faith thing, God's promise, this church is wrong. I've seen it. Because in that time of patience, if he says to hold fast to something and he says don't faint, that means there's going to be plenty of opportunities to come and knock that thing out of you and to try to get you to faint. It's called the thoughts of the enemy. It's called circumstances. It's called situations are going to be bombarding and bombarding. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to come to pass. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. It's coming to pass in Jesus' name. Praise God. Second thing that Abraham did is found in verse 21, in being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He stood on the word. He kept his gaze fixed on God, but he also kept his gaze fixed on the word. What was the word? You're going to have a son. 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 Remember when Jesus was walking in the water and it scared the disciples? And Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come onto the water. You know the water that the Bible says the waves were boisterous, the wind was ripping and roaring. You know, professional fishermen usually stay in the boat. They don't get out of the boat. It was against all, defied all natural laws of gravity and whatever, water and whatever you want to, the laws are, it defied them all. Jesus said, it's me, come. So Peter gets out of the boat and the Bible says he walked on water to go to Jesus. He walked on water to go to Jesus, but then it tells us where he failed. But when he saw, so when he's walking on Jesus, he's looking at the word. Abraham's in faith when he's, Father, you said I'll have a baby. You said I'll have a baby. Father, you said I'll have a baby. He's not looking at the wind and the waves. What are the wind and the waves in Abraham's situation? His body, his wife's body, the doubters, the birthday candles, the mirror. Those are wind and waves. The aches and pains for a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to have a baby. Those are all wind and waves. And that's what they were looking at, why they got into Ishmael and why they got into laughing, because they were looking at the wind and waves. And why did, what happened when Peter looked at the wind and waves? He began to sink. His faith went out the window when he started looking at the wind and waves. And that's what people do. Symptoms, wind and waves. Oh, but I'm getting worse. The doctor's report says this, and the financial report is worse. That's wind and waves, people. Why did you take your gaze off of this? That's what Abraham did. He kept his eye on God and his eye on God's word. Praise God. And last but not least, in helping you to be a person of patience, in that stage of patience, go to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. And then we'll be done. I like to preach for like about an hour on Wednesday, and then not much longer than that. But James chapter 1 and verse 2. You know what you have to be in life to be a successful Christian? You have to just be crazy enough to actually believe God's word. You have to be wacky enough to actually take this as reality other than what you can see, touch, feel, smell, experience every day. And if I could get you to renew your mind to what the Bible says, which means to believe God, about what he says about patience, that time from the release to the time of the manifestation will not be an issue anymore. If you'll be one of those crazies that are just crazy enough to believe and renew your mind to this. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. You know that I've helped set people free that have sat across from me. I remember one lady in the Jamestown Church back when I was the associate pastor. She came in for help. And the main problem that she was having, it was causing her to overeat and causing her to get into depression and things, was she kept remembering how she was mistreated as a child. How she was abused and had wrong things done to her as a child. And I said to her, I said, I'm sorry for what you went through. I hate it. It's horrible. It should never happen. It's wrong and there's evil in this world. I said, but do you want to stay like this forever? She said, no, that's why I'm here. I said, I can tell you how to get free from this, but you're going to have to just be crazy enough to believe this word over your circumstances, over your feelings, and over your memories, and over your thoughts. She said, tell me what it is. I said, this is not me being uncompassionate to you. I hate that you went through that. But it's like this. If somebody gets hit by, gets T-boned in an accident, say by a drunk driver or something, and they have their body gets hurt, and they have to go get help and get therapy and stuff, that stinks for them. And that certainly was unfair, but you know what? They don't want to stay in that condition forever, so they go to the therapy. They do the exercises. They put their body through that. And the therapist says, I hate that you went through this too, but I want you better, so I'm going to tell you how to get better. Yeah. Amen? And she said, I don't want to be this way anymore. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you some things. I said, you keep going back to that place of abuse. You keep receiving those thoughts of abuse. I said, but the Bible says that you're brand new. Creation in Christ. God gives you a get out of jail free card in His Word that you can actually live from the platform of saying, I never was abused. Because to say I'm always abused is holding her into that victim place. Holding her down and causing her to be depressed. You say, Pastor, that's crazy. No, that's what God said. Paul, the murderer, the former murderer of Christians, said, I've wronged no man. How can he say that? When in his past, if you go back and rewind his past, he murdered Christians. He stood there and held the coat of people while they stoned Stephen. He was crazy enough to accept the get out of jail free card that God said, forget those things which are behind and press forward. And he that's in Christ is brand new. Old things passed away. New, all things are new. So I said, if you can renew your mind to your newness in Christ, when thoughts come of being abused that bring you into depression, you can say, I never was abused. I'm brand new in Jesus. And that person went on to thrive and to lose that weight and to become a blessing in that church and is serving God to this day. Amen. And I've had other people that cannot get past it, that constantly are always talking from the realm of their past. You know what God thinks your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. That's what He says. Now, that's not somebody saying, oh, Pastor, you're being mean. No, that's a therapist saying, I know this hurts and I know this is difficult, but do the exercises. I want you better. Amen? Amen? That's what it's like. Say, what am I talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you that right now. It's crazy in that time because we don't like patience. Our flesh doesn't like patience. But what God says about patience, if we'll renew our mind, it can't be a bad thing because it's a fruit of the Spirit. It can't be bad. That time from the release to the manifestation can't be bad. It's something from Him. Amen. He says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into various tests and trials. Knowing this. See, if you don't know this, you won't count it joy. What's a test and trial? The moment you walk out of here from getting hands laid on you, the moment you release your faith for finances, you wake up the next morning and the bank account's bad, that's a test and trial. That's a trial on your faith, the trying of your faith. That's what it is. You walk out of here and the symptoms are worse. 6 months later, the doctor's report hasn't changed. That's called a trial. That's called testing. He says, if you'll know this, you'll be able to count that time joy. That the trying of your faith, or the testing of your faith, worketh or produces patience. Okay, there's that word patience. But what's God think about patience? But let patience have her drudgery work. Her awful work.
Come on.
Nope. God calls the work of patience, which is the work from the release to the manifestation, perfect. Why? He says, let it so that you may be perfect, which is complete, entire, and wanting or lacking nothing. Now, what am I talking about being crazy? If I can get you to renew your mind to this verse, no longer is that time you're waiting a bad thing. Because you know something's working in you to make you complete and perfect and lacking nothing. So why can you count it joy when you go through it? Because in that time from the release to the manifestation, something's happening in me that's causing me to be better. You know, the trial that I don't talk about very very much, Pastor Tim and I were in Yellowstone, and there's a ton of geysers out there, but the one you want to go see is Old Faithful. But there's a ton of secondary ones that are still cool too, but you all rush to see Old Faithful because that's what everybody hears about. Well, everybody hears about my financial test and trial of the $2,000 short, but see, what they don't know is that when I started to make a little bit of money and start to get where we could almost break even, God then told the breadwinner in the family to quit her job. And it catapulted us back to about $1,000 or a little more, sometimes a little less every month. I don't hardly ever talk about that one because we talk about Old Faithful. That's where the crowds are at. Because 2,000 is bigger than one. But the point is this. In that trial of $1,000 a month, which would crush a lot of people, was absolutely nothing for me because I just went through one of $2,000 a month and it put something in me. And it completed me and it was like it was a breeze. Didn't even bat an eye at it. See, we don't realize at times, but if you'll renew your mind to it, what is patience? Patience is endurance. You know, I was looking up and reading about marathon runners and ultra marathon runners. We're talking about the 60, the 100-mile races, the 150-mile races of nonstop running. And you know what it said that the marathon's runner's most important organ is? You might think it's got to be their legs. It's got to be their heart. The most important, this was a consensus, about marathon runners, their most important organ is their body, is their brain. Yeah. All the thoughts. Have you ever been on a treadmill for even just 5 minutes, and one day it was real easy? And the next day, you're doing the same exact thing at the same exact speed, and it's like, quit. This is hard. Get off. This is, why are you doing this to yourself? Get off. And it's a battle up here.
Sure.
The patience battle is an endurance of the mind. And if you'll renew your mind to this verse, that when you're going through it, Father, praise God. When that thing shows up, it's going to be awesome. But until then, things are being put in me. It's a perfect work. I'm going to let her have her work in me. But you got to be nuts like me. You got to be one of those crazies that will just believe God and take Him at His word. Amen. But if you'll do it, my gosh, the time, it's been 6 months. Yes, I hope it's another 6 months. More things can be put in me.
Amen.
You could say it this way, the longer it goes, the better it is for you. That's what a crazy person thinks. But a crazy person stays in faith and is victorious about it. I'll tell you, some things have been changed in the last 2 days of me about time and space. Like, whatever, Lord, whatever needs to happen. Pieces are being put in place. Things are being removed out of me, put in me. Whatever, Lord, whatever you want.
That's good.
Praise you, Lord. Well, were you helped tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Even if you don't know it, you were. If you'll go back on this. So we'll look at these things because why? We don't want to be barren, unfruitful, or trip and stumble. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Oh, Lord, we were so blessed by your word. Father, we're so thankful that you help us with these things. Because, Father, I'll tell you, that land of patience can be barren at times. It can be lonely. It can be desolate. And, Father, it can play tricks on us. And it can tell us that we're not going to get it and that we're doing it wrong and that it's going to bypass us and that it's just not for us. But, Father, we know now we have some truth on patience. And so, Father, we're going to make sure we add our patience to our faith. But we will be complete and we will walk in this life, not stumbling and tripping up. Father, we bless you tonight. Now, Father, I know everyone in here is born again. I know that. But, Father, if there's anyone listening by live stream that's never accepted Jesus into their heart, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus. Now, it's easy to receive Jesus. It's not about church attendance or good works or charitable donations. It's about what you do with Jesus. And the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. And that's found in Romans 10 and verse 9. If you'll do that. So if you're listening and you can say, I do believe in Jesus. I know he's real. Can't explain everything and I don't understand it all. But in my heart of hearts, I do believe that Jesus was real. There's just one step for you. It's just confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, and God will save you. So I encourage you, if that's you I'm talking about, you just say, Father, I believe in Jesus, and I ask him to come into my heart. I believe he died and rose again. If you'll do that, God will save you, because he said he would in his word. You become a child of God, and I encourage you at that point to get hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church and watch God change your life. Father, we just thank you. Let's just worship him together for a minute. I just want to just make sure. Father, we love you and praise you. We love you and praise you. Father, what? We love you so much. We just glorify you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. this is coming up in my spirit. Who needs, it might be multiple people, but there's a situation going a direction, you almost need a 180 to happen. It just looks like no way, but you need a complete 180 change in that. The turnaround's coming. If that's you, come up. We're going to pray and release our faith together for the turnaround. Amen? We're talking about going in a direction and just a 180. Are you one of them, Julie? Just come forward here. I'm telling you, things are going direction. You need a complete, it looks like there's no way, and you need a turnaround and a change. Come forward and stand right here, brother. It's so good to have you here tonight. We're going to believe God for the turnaround. Amen? God's a God of turnarounds. God's a God of change. Amen? Now this just came up in my heart as I said, before I pray for all of you. Sometimes the turnaround comes with instruction. Amen? We can release for the anointing and release for the turnaround, but sometimes we're the catalyst. I don't know if that would be the case for any of you, but be listening in your heart for the turn. What if God? Sometimes it just takes a move of God with faith to get that move of God, but sometimes we have to cooperate with Him. Amen? So just always keep your spirit open. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank You for the turnaround that belongs to her. You are able and bigger than this, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for my brother here. Lord, whatever he's facing, he needs a turnaround. So, Father, we thank You for the turnaround in his life. In Jesus' mighty name, brother. Father, we thank You for Grandma Alice here. And, Lord, we thank You for the turnaround. We thank You for the turnaround, Lord. You're bigger than this. Father, with You, nothing shall be impossible. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We thank You for it. Now, let's just thank Him. Hallelujah. You can go back to your seats. Hallelujah. We praise You, Father. We bless You. Father, I've seen it so many times. You are the God of signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, when the world says it can't be done, Father, that's just Your realm. So, Father, we thank You, Lord. We believe You. We trust You tonight. We believe You for the turnaround. We believe You for the turnaround. And you just got hands laid on you. I already told you how to do it. You just thank Him for the turnaround now. Father, I thank You for the turnaround. How long do I do that for? Until it turns around. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. Remember, faith and patience. You say, but it didn't turn around in a day. Yeah, but that's what this message is for. This is what this message is for, to help you. That faith and patience receive the promises of God. Father, is there anything else you want to do tonight before we close the service? We're so thankful and so grateful. Father, we love You and praise You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Love y'all. I've missed you. It's so good to be back. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You are dismissed.